This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
So what was it really like to serve in the Peace Corps during its earliest days? In this episode of This Week in America, Gary Lindberg, author of The Vegetable Grows and The Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service, shares extraordinary stories from his time as a Peace Corps volunteer in the Ivory Coast during the 1960s, a bold era shaped by President John F. Kennedy's vision of global service. From building school gardens and working in remote villages to breaking down in the middle of nowhere, encountering camels, and traveling to legendary places like Timbuktu. Gary's journey is one of courage, curiosity, and cultural diversity. And he's our guest, coming up next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What would make a young American leave home in the 1960s and travel halfway around the world to serve strangers? In today's This Week in America, Gary Lindberg, author of The Vegetable Grows and The Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service, takes us inside the early days of the Peace Corps. From village life in the Ivory Coast to building school gardens, navigating breakdowns in the middle of nowhere, and even traveling to legendary places like Timbuktu. Gary, a UC Berkeley graduate during the free speech movement and a longtime human resources professional, reflects on how his Peace Corps experience influenced his worldview and lifelong path. This isn't just a travel story. It's a heartfelt, eye-opening conversation about courage, service, adventure, discovering humanity across cultures, and the power of stepping into the unknown. Back with us on This Week in America is Gary Lindberg. Gary, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be back with you. I'm looking forward to talking with you. I thank you for taking the time.
I am looking forward to this. And when Gary was here the last time talking about his books, a book, God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights, that book's available. I'll mention it again at the end of the program. But we had just touched on this, The Vegetable Grows and The Lion Roars, and I was looking forward to our conversation today. Gary, let's start with why joining the Peace Corps. This was new. This was back during the 1960s. What was it about it that when Sergeant Shriver was talking about it, that it captured your attention?
Well, he was talking about service, giving service to other people. And he came to University of California, Berkeley, where I was going to school during the fall semester. I went to hear him, was very impressed, but I thought, nah, it's probably not for me. He came back in the spring semester, and again, I went to hear him, and again, I was very impressed. And I said, this time, oh, I think I'll challenge him. Let's see what he'll do with my application. So I applied and got 10 people to offer themselves as references for me. And I listed all the reasons for me wanting to join the Peace Corps. And I waited and I didn't hear anything before the end of school. And so I graduated. Well, after I graduated, it was time for me to make some decisions because I was high on the draft list. At that time, the Vietnam War was going on, so I had to do something. And so I started thinking about applying for the Air Force, which my big older brother was in and was intending to make a career before he changed to NASA. But so I wanted to contribute to other people and learn more about different cultures. And I wanted to see what I could do to help in the way I could help, however they wanted to use me. And I had some ulterior motives too. I wanted to travel through Europe after my Peace Corps service because I figured I was already halfway around the world to start with. So I didn't need to travel from the United States all the way to Europe. And I just asked Peace Corps to give me the money for my ticket. And I proceeded to go through Europe, Italy, Germany, France, England, and the Netherlands. But I had a whole list of reasons. There were about 10 different reasons. And I think I did accomplish most of those reasons, if not all of them.
And you share those in the book, The Vegetable Grows and the Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service by Gary Lindbergh. There's so many elements to the story and what Gary was involved in, working with the people, being part of the culture, traveling, as he was talking about. He's got pictures in there as well. The story really comes alive. And it's a story of what he went through. People in the early days of the Peace Corps, what they went through and the impact they were able to make on the world. Once you were accepted, what was it like when you went home and told your parents, okay, I've got something planned here for my life right now, and it's a volunteer thing?
Well, that was quite a surprise, both to me and to my parents. And I happened to be in the process of applying for the Air Force, and I went to spend the day at Vandenberg Air Force Base, which was about 25 miles away from Santa Maria, California, where I was living. And I spent the time answering questions, filling out papers, and I don't even remember all that I did. But I got back in the middle of the afternoon or late middle of afternoon, and there was a big manila envelope on the kitchen table, and it was from the Peace Corps. And I took one look at that and I said, oh, no, they're actually going to invite me to join the Peace Corps. I can't do that. And so that's what I was thinking. But I didn't say that. Well, my mother walked up to the kitchen table and said, you're not going to do that, are you? As soon as she said that, my mind clicked. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And that was the decision. And they respected the decision, and everything worked out well.
It's an amazing story. It's in Gary's book, The Vegetable Grows and the Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service. Gary's website is GaryRLindbergh.com. Got that on the website, thisweekinamerica.us. You were invited to a health education project. You ended up becoming part of the school gardens program. Talk about how that happened, that evolution, that change.
Well, we went to UCLA for about 3 months of training in the health education project. And during the last couple of weeks of the training program, they asked for volunteers for a special school gardens program. It seemed like the Peace Corps was trying to persuade the Ivory Coast government to actually have volunteers come over and participate in that program. Well, the French always sent a lot of agricultural engineers to the Ivory Coast. And so the Ivorians were very skeptical that any college graduates that, you know, didn't have any background in agriculture would then be able to participate in a school gardens program. So that we were basically an experimental program. And I told the Peace Corps that I was willing to do whatever they wanted me to do, but I had my preference, and that was to remain in the health education project. Well, they left it at that. We had a break after the training, and then we went to the Ivory Coast. And during the orientation, which was only a couple of days after we arrived, they asked again if we wanted to volunteer for that. And again, I said, I'm available if you want. But, you know, my preference was health education project. Well, it turned out that the four of us were selected for the school gardens program. Each one of us were individually assigned in four different areas of the Ivory Coast. And I underwent some training for a month to learn the basics of school gardens. And I learned various techniques. And those techniques included making a planche, which is a 1 meter by 10 meter mound of dirt. And you had to make it with a daba, which was a short hoe, about a foot long handle, and a very small head to dig up the soil and create that mound. You have to dig it outside the perimeter of the actual mound to get the soil to build up the mound. And then there's the questions of how do you plant the seeds? Well, there are some seeds like tomatoes and lettuce that were very delicate. And so we would plant them out and just throw out the seeds on a planche. And they would grow up to about 2 inches, and then we would transplant them. That was another technique, onto a regular full-size planche. And it enabled the delicate plants to grow more successfully. And you would put shading over them, and you would, we taught them to stake string beans so they wouldn't lay across the ground and rot. And so those are the kinds of things we were teaching them.
You know, it's amazing. You're there. They're normally the engineers from France that were in there, and you were teaching them. What was that like, and how were you accepted? You were like the B team. If you've got the French engineers coming in there, and you've got these young college kids, and it sounded like you took to that, and you really were beneficial to them in teaching the techniques.
Well, basically, what we were doing was kind of grunt work, if you will, and that was really below beneath the dignity of the agricultural engineers. They had more broad training and understanding of agriculture than we did, and so they really didn't need to do that kind of work. It was a real waste of their time, but for us, learning, having a month training, it worked out extremely well. And we were very successful, and the idea was that if we were successful, then the Ivory Coast would accept a regularly trained program to succeed us. And a regularly trained program did succeed us. So we achieved that goal.
What was it like, because you are working really at the ground level, literally with everyone there, and you can see probably on their faces that they're understanding you are making this better for them, the situation better for them. You're teaching them things they didn't know before, techniques that they were not aware of. What was that like? What kind of satisfaction did that bring you to see that what you were doing at that level was making a big difference?
Well, it was really very important, because the Ivory Coast initiated the school gardens program for two reasons. One, they wanted to teach young children and even have it, be absorbed by their parents, that vegetables were healthy and good for their diet and made them live longer and so forth. The second reason was for the Ivory Coast. They noticed that in countries like Nigeria, where the villagers would leave the villages and go to the major towns, in Nigeria's case, Lagos or Ibadan, and they would just congregate there, and there were no jobs there. So what do? They lay on the sidewalk, and they were basically homeless. And the Ivory Coast was trying to avoid that. They were trying to prevent that. And so that was rewarding for us to know that we were contributing to those goals.
What was it like working with the people? You go there, and I'm sure you had some background, some idea what to expect. But when you're there, you're working side by side with many of these people. You are giving them techniques that could be life-altering in many cases. What was that like working with them, interaction with the local people?
Well, it was very good, but it did depend on our ability to communicate, and we had to communicate in French. We could not speak English because they wouldn't understand us. So we had to explain things all in French, and we would demonstrate the various techniques. We would make a planche or start to make a planche like we were telling them to do, and we would put shading on it. And one thing is, because the rains, when they came down, they were very, very strong, and they would cut through the soil like a hot knife through butter. And so they had to put the planche perpendicular to the slope of the land, so that would actually prevent the plants from being washed away. And things like that, to see that they would adopt these techniques and to see that they were learning what we were trying to teach them was very rewarding.
More with Gary Lindberg and how the Peace Corps shaped his life and career after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best Bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Back to This Week in America and Gary Lindberg, author of The Vegetable Grows and The Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service. You were allowed vacation time. Talk about that, and obviously you took advantage of that.
I did very definitely take advantage of the vacation time. I had vacation time in the first year. I traveled around Nigeria. I went from Lagos up to Abadan, north to Kaduna, then to Kano, well, the famous mud city, Kano, and which was the interesting thing was that 2 weeks before I arrived there, the Hausa tribe, the dominant tribe in northern Nigeria, massacred a bunch of Igbos, which were basically from the southeast part of the country, because they were the kind of the merchants of the town, and the Hausas were kind of jealous of their dominance in their society, and they didn't like that, so they took it out on them violently. And 2 weeks after I left there, the beginning of the Nigerian Civil War actually erupted. So it was a kind of a tense time to see that. But then I went back down south, back to Enugu, back to Kaduna, I should say, and over to Enugu in the east, and then back to Lagos. And then I actually went to East Africa, and a bunch of Peace Corps volunteers chose to charter a plane to fly us all back to Nairobi. And when we got to Nairobi, we had to decide what we were going to do and where we were going to go. And I had no idea. I had several people in my Peace Corps group from the Ivory Coast who wanted to go to the big mountain there, and I wasn't really interested in climbing a mountain, so I was more interested in visiting the game reserves and seeing all the wild animals.
Oh, yes.
And I thought that would be more exciting and more interesting, so that's what I did. And when I arrived there, there were four girls that came up to me and asked me if I would go with them. And I kind of asked, well, why? And they said, well, you're a guy and you know about cars that we don't know. And I said, well, I don't know anything about cars. So I don't think I'm the right guy for you. And they said, no, we want you. We really need to have you do it. And that's okay. I guess they didn't believe me or something. I don't know. They found out that was true when I later, But at that time they agreed, and so I said, okay, well, I'll go with you. So we went to Nairobi National Park, and we saw all the lions and wildebeest and antelope and all kinds of good animals. And then we went to Amboseli National Park, and we saw more lions and other wild animals, wildebeest and so forth. And then we went on to Serengeti, the famous Serengeti. And we traveled all around there, and we saw leopards, and we saw cheetahs, and we saw lions again, and so we were in that kind of environment. And when you're, I actually drove up about a yard up to a lion that was laying sideways down on the ground in the savannah, sleeping. And then when I got that close, he raised his head and growled a little, so I knew I was getting, I drove the car a little too
Too
close.
close. What amazing stories, and they all come to life in Gary's book, The Vegetable Grows and the Lion Roars. All the stories there of his time in the Peace Corps, pictures as well. When the car broke down, talk about that, because you don't have AAA to call at that point. You didn't even know where you were. How did you get that you're there? That's got to be a feeling of desperation when the car breaks down, and you, by your own admission, don't really understand how a car works. Well, how did you handle that? How did you get out of there?
Well, that was a miracle. I think they kept, as we left Serengeti, we went on the main road, which was actually a dirt road, very well graded and well done. It was a nice road, but one of the girls happened to have read some information about the Olduvai Gorge, where the Leakey family discovered the oldest remains of humans, and she wanted to go there. Well, the other girls were interested in doing that, and I went along with it because I was only one voice, and I would have been interested in it anyway. But I didn't know how to get there. We didn't have maps. We didn't have GPS. There was nothing there to know where we're supposed to go. Well, as we drove a few more miles away from Serengeti, we see this small sign about 8x10, and it says Olduvai Gorge and points the arrow to the left. And so, that's where we want to go. I didn't know any better, and they didn't know any better. So we drove off the main road, drove on this road to Olduvai Gorge. Well, this road twisted and wound around and finally got into some hills, and then a car overheated. Here was old Gary, the car expert. I opened up the hood and then opened up the radiator. Well, at the temperature that the savannah was, it was pretty hot. So all the water goes spurting out, just sprayed all over. And I said, well, I didn't say it but to them, but I was thinking, I told you so.
See?
The problem was we had no water then. I should have left it there and cooled down. But, after visiting all these animals, we didn't know when the animals would show up where we were. And we didn't think that it was a good idea to sit there and wait for them, because the day was moving along and it started getting a little towards the afternoon and the later day. And so we actually saw a couple of Maasai. I claim they're Maasai warriors or herdsmen. I don't know if they were Maasai or not.
A remarkable story, what Gary went through and shares in his book, The Vegetable Grows and the Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service by Gary Lindbergh. Came back, and I think what you made it then to the Air Force, and you had nearly 5 decades in human relations. So it was an amazing career that you had after the Peace Corps as well. Gary's other book that I mentioned, I was going to bring it up again before we ended the conversation, God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights. That interview is on our archives. Just go to This Week in America or Google it. You'll find that. That book's available on his website as well. And his website is GaryRLindbergh.com.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.